Welcome into Give Me Five for January 17th, 2012. This is Patricia Babcock McGraw, and Give Me Five is a women's basketball audio segment for BTN.com. Throughout the season, I will spend 5 minutes, give or take, with some of the most interesting and dynamic players in the Big Ten Conference. It is my pleasure to welcome in today's guest, Purdue senior guard Brittany Rayburn. The college basketball world was buzzing last week when Illinois guard Brandon Paul had the game of his life and torched Ohio State for 43 points on 8 three-pointers and just 15 shots to lead the Illini to an upset victory. As if not to be outdone, Brittany went out and had the game of her life just 2 days later. She led Purdue to a win over Minnesota by shooting the lights out from three-point range. She buried an NCAA tying record, 12 three-pointers on 16 attempts, and finished with 38 big points. As one of the most dangerous shooters in the Big Ten, Brittany is clearly a major reason Purdue is sitting atop the Big Ten standings with a perfect 5-0 record in league play. Brittany leads the 15-3 Boilers in scoring with 15 points per game. Brittany, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for joining me. So let's talk about that very special game you had up in Minnesota. How fun was it being you that night? I mean, don't you just love those games where you are stuck on automatic?
Yeah, everybody's got to love those games. It's a great feeling, you know. Teammates kept coming back to me and setting great screens, and you know, like I say, none of them felt contested, but when you're that hot, it doesn't feel like it at all.
Yeah. No. And as the game was going on, I mean, did you let yourself enjoy it just a little bit?
Oh, yeah. All I could do after they kept going in the second half, I just kept smiling. I didn't know what else to do. It was like, I've never had this feeling before, but just keep smiling.
Yeah. A lot to smile about for sure. Now, why do you think that you shot so well that night? Had you been working on your shot more in practice? Were you a little lucky on some shots? Were you getting great passes, great screens? Or maybe it was just a perfect storm of all of that and a little bit of all of that was involved.
I've definitely been shooting a lot more in practice. We've been doing a lot of shooting because as a team, we just haven't been shooting a great percentage. But I've always loved playing in the barn, and I love their court. I love their baskets, and it's definitely, like I like to say, a shooter's gym. But going into it, you know, I have to give all the credit to my teammates. They made great passes and set great screens. And like I said, you know, you don't feel contested when your person's trailing you on a great hard screen. So it makes it easier for me to get a nice smooth shot up when you get an open shot.
Friendly rims in the barn?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Even for the opponents, huh?
Yeah.
They can't work that out somehow, so it's just friendly for Minnesota, huh? All right, so as I mentioned about Brandon Paul earlier, I think it's so interesting that just 2 days after he had his out of this world game against Ohio State, you went out and had yours. What did you think about Brandon Paul's game? What did you like about it? And better yet, can we judge whose out of this world game was better?
Well, I'm definitely not one to judge that, but he definitely had an amazing game and led his team to a huge victory on their home floor, and to be able to put up a 40 plus game, and it's pretty amazing, and especially at this level. You know, I congratulate him on that.
Yeah. You shooters have to stick together, right? You guys kind of admire each other, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think that the other great thing about your game happening in the wake of Brandon Paul's game is that it gave some really good attention to the women's game. Like, hey, the women can be great shooters and prolific scorers, too. Have you gotten any feedback on your game or heard from fans more so than usual?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard. No, I try not to look at the media per se too much and the, you know, everything else. But we've heard, you know, well, women's game gets boring. They just do this, they just do that. They can't do this, they can't do that. And for us, it makes it a competition, at least for me, you know, to say, hey, we can do this too. You know, we may not go up and alley-oop dunk it every time down the court, but you know, we definitely have some great scorers and some great players in our league as well.
I think that's a great point, Brittany. There are a lot of really good things that the women can do. Great shooting, some really good passers in the women's game. I think that you have to look at all of those little things and not compare the games directly, but look at what each one has to offer separately. And I think that there are some really good things on the women's side.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I agree.
So now, have you ever had a game like the Minnesota game before where you just couldn't miss, or maybe you get that way sometimes in practice before? Or did this just kind of come out of nowhere?
Yeah, I definitely get that way in practice sometimes when, you know, we're telling our rip squad guys to go 50% and just keep getting open shots and just keep falling. Sometimes you get that in practice, but it's definitely more fun to have in a game just because it actually counts for something. But, yeah, it's not an everyday feeling, that's for sure.
Yeah, no. And so it would be fair to say that you really have never had a game like that before.
No, I mean, in high school I had more so games like that, but not with as few shots. You know, you could put up 40 points, but you have to shoot, you know, double the amount of shots. But
yeah,
be able to shoot that well from the floor was, you know, kind of what shocked me.
Well, that was what was so great about Brandon Paul's game and so great about your game is that you guys were both super efficient from the field. It's amazing. Okay, so you're obviously a very good shooter. Break down your shot for us a little bit. What are the mechanics involved that set you up for success, do you think?
I think for me, I don't have the picture-perfect form because I do use my offhand. But for me, it's just being able to go back to the basics. You know, we teach beef here, balance, eyes, elbow, follow through. And, you know, every time I'm having, you know, a so-called slump, you start going back through the basics and, you know, is every shot straight on? Is it to the left? Is it to the right? Or especially when you get to the free throw line, if you miss the first one and it's short, you just know you got to use more legs or, you know, follow through for a little bit longer and just do those little things that you don't typically think about in the heat of the moment. But if you notice your shot's doing something, you have to be able to correct it. And I think that's the biggest thing for me.
When you say that you use your offhand, that you don't have picture-perfect form, does that mean that when you're at the peak of your shot, you still have your non-shooting hand on the ball? Is that what you mean by that?
No, I actually use my left thumb in my shot, and it's become a common thing throughout our younger generations as I've seen people come up through camps and stuff. It's pretty common, but it's not taught.
Okay.
So I don't know how I inherited that. I mean, my dad taught me everything when I was younger, but we've tried to break the habit for years in high school. When I got here, Coach V tried to fix it, and it's just not fixable. You take the thumb away, and the shot goes way off. So
really?
I'm not sure how that developed, but it works for me.
I was going to say, somehow that is part of your comfort zone. So maybe you just shouldn't mess with it. I mean, for God's sakes, 12 of 16 from three-point land. Maybe you don't want to be messing with your shot.
Yeah, we've kind of given up trying to correct it. We'll just let it be for now.
Now, you mentioned the shooting slumps, and ironically, you were going through a bit of a shooting slump prior to the Minnesota game. You had hit just 1 of 9 three-pointers in Big Ten play, and then in a game against Minnesota 2 weeks prior, down in West Lafayette, you had missed all 4 of your three-point attempts. So what are the mental tricks that you use as a shooter to kind of ride out those little rough patches?
You just have to use your teammates. In practice, I wasn't shooting great either, and like I said, I put in extra time getting up shots, just working on the form without using legs, going back to basics, just focusing on shoulders up, and then you get add in the legs and get deeper and deeper and just keep working on it. And the more you shoot, the better it's got a chance of going in. And for me, it was just people staying confident in me and staying confident in myself. You know, shooters never stop shooting is what I've taught myself. And be able to have people continually tell me that I'm doing fine, you know, I'm doing the other things. And, you know, that's what you just need to hear as a, you know, a shooter is just never stop shooting.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to keep putting the shots up. All right, so as I mentioned before, Purdue is one of the hottest teams in the Big Ten. You guys have won 8 straight games and are in first place in the league standings. What has been the key to the team's success so far this season?
I'm going to revert back to confidence. We knew coming into the season not losing anybody from last year's team is a great advantage for us because we've all played together. Obviously, losing Dre Mingo at the beginning of the year is a huge deficit to us, but it's no shock to us. We've put up with something like this every year, it seems like, and we just come back stronger. And I think this year everybody's just that much more mature. And, you know, like I said, winning the close games is huge for us. And I think having a preseason where we had a couple close games and had to pull it out in the end is really good for us, especially as an experienced team.
Yeah, you guys have had some really good challenges this year so far. All right, so you're from Indiana, Brittany, and 6 people in your family are Purdue alums. Were you going to Purdue regardless, or was there something about Purdue that specifically drew you in?
When it came down to my final decision, I came down, I really loved Coach V, but she was at IU, and like I said, I was born to raise a Boilermaker, so it was really hard for me. I was being recruited by Purdue when Chris Curry was here, and UConn was another big one for me. So it came down to those 3 schools, but I wasn't going to make my decision until I had to, and then all the changes happened when Coach V ended up coming here. I knew Purdue had a vet school. I've always wanted to be a vet, and so it really helps. They really pushed academics, which I love because, you know, you can't play basketball your entire life. And I think that was a big key for me. And I wanted to play for Coach V, and she came to the school that I was born and raised to cheer for. And I think that made my decision that much easier.
So the stars just aligned for you, Brittany, right?
They did.
Okay. So you mentioned vet school. You are studying veterinary medicine. How did you become interested in that? Do you have a lot of pets? And do you think that you will actually follow through with that and be a vet someday?
I became interested just because I live in the country and had a lot of stray animals show up, and My dad used to have hogs before I was born, so, you know, my family was involved with, you know, farming and that sort of thing, and I always wanted to take care of the stray pets that came around, and just as of recently, we went on a trip, and my dachshund dog got hurt on our trip down to Florida, and she ended up not being able to walk when we got there.
Aww.
18-hour drive, and I wanted to figure out what was wrong with her, and, you know, she was in the love of our life, and wanted to figure out what it was, and I had been working at the vet clinic and called him and became really interested in, you know, in her particular issue, so I did some research on dachshunds and became really interested in orthopedics, so now my goal is hopefully to be an orthopedic doctor for dogs and cats of small animal type, so I definitely want to fulfill that and have my interview actually coming up this Friday for vet school at Purdue.
So. Wow, good for you. That sounds great.
Yes. It's all going in the right direction.
Absolutely. Do you think, though, that you might put that on hold for a little bit to continue playing basketball, perhaps professionally, either in the WNBA or overseas, or will you go straight to vet school?
You know, my goal in life is to get to vet school. It would be possible to do both because of the short WNBA season, but that decision really will come down to the end of this year, how everything worked out for me, you know, vet school-wise and basketball-wise. So it'll be a last-minute decision.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck with that decision. Sounds like you really can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So as is tradition here, I always like to ask my guests to tell me something interesting about themselves that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with basketball. Is there something you like to do away from the game? Do you have an interesting hobby? Is there some interesting fact about you that people don't know that they maybe would be surprised to learn about you?
A lot of people around here may know this, but in general, people don't typically know that I love to write poetry.
Oh.
Never really been into English per se, but poetry has always been a big thing for me. It just helps get me relaxed.
Really? Well, how did that get started?
It really took in the gear when my grandmother passed away in high school, and I wrote a poem for my grandpa, for her, and it just sort of took off and started writing poems for people around the family and stuff like that. I haven't had a lot of time to do it in college, but it's still definitely there. It's something I like to do to relax me.
Oh, that's really nice. Something to kind of soothe yourself a little bit.
Yeah. I don't have time to read a book, so.
Well, that's a good outlet. That really is. You get to really do a lot of thinking and, you know, just putting down your thoughts is always a good way to kind of unwind.
Yes, it is.
All right. Okay, well, that does it for this edition of Gimme Five. Brittany, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. It was a lot of fun getting to know you a little bit better. Good luck the rest of this season. Good luck to the Boilermakers. Good. All right. Well, join us again next time for another great conversation with one of the Big Ten's best. This is Patricia Babcock-McGraw for BTN.com.